All right, let's all flash back to childhood now for a minute. You're out to dinner with your parents, maybe somewhere fancy, a supper club. What do you order to drink? A kiddie cocktail, of course, the combination of the bubbly soda, the grenadine, the maraschino cherry. Best thing ever, right?
Well, our next guest is no longer a kid, but he hasn't lost his love for his favorite childhood drink. In fact, he's pretty serious about it. In a new book that's a love letter to the classic cocktail, he lays out some new and unique twists on the drink, as well as some tips on how to enjoy it in style.
Stuart Sandler joins us now. He's an Eau Claire-based author and designer. His new book is called Kitty Cocktails. He joins us from our studios in Eau Claire. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So
it's great to be here.
What is it about the Kitty cocktail that's so special for you?
You know, honestly, it is such an amazing, magical little drink. If you think about back to childhood days, it immediately can take you back to those moments in life. And what's funny about it is how relevant it is to how it can bring you forward as well. And you can share those with other folks and younger folks as well.
And do you have that moment where you first encountered, or at least remember encountering, the Kitty cocktail?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was about 10 years old. It was in 1984. We were out to dinner at a restaurant called the Dragon Palace. And the waiter was taking orders, and he suggested a Kitty cocktail. I wasn't sure. He suggested a Shirley Temple. I wasn't sure what he was referring to. And my dad just said, yeah, go, you'll like it. It was the first time I'd ever seen such a thing. And by the time it arrived, I wasn't exactly sure what to make of it. It had a little maraschino cherry with a yellow sword through it and a black straw. And the second I tasted it, I was just absolutely blown away. It wasn't like anything you could get from a soda fountain, and it was magical.
Well, now you're a grown-up. You still love these things. Where did you get the idea to pull together a whole book of these?
The idea I've had for almost over a decade now. At the time, I'd been doing some bookstore shopping and had seen a lot of cocktail books, alcoholic drinks, and I had seen ideas for mocktail books. And what sort of troubled me about some of the mocktail books is that they were pretending to be alcohol. You know, here's a version of a drink that's specifically intended to be an alcoholic drink without alcohol. And I thought there was this giant gap that was missing that was just primarily focused on the nostalgia, the flavor, the deliciousness, the sweetness of just a plain kitty cocktail drink. And I wanted to bring that to life and bring it back in a way that I thought was relevant.
Before we get to some of the specific recipes you've got here, let's talk gear. What sort of stuff should we have lying around if we want to be kitty cocktail connoisseurs?
Well, actually, most of what you need you already have in your house. Basically, you need a pitcher, a blender, measuring spoons, fun glassware because it makes the drink taste a little better if you've got the right glasses. A couple things you'll need to buy if you want. It's basically a cocktail shaker. You can either use a Boston or a cobbler shaker, which is a little technical, something called a Hawthorne strainer, which is going to work once you've shaken your drinks to pour them into the glassware.
Let's start with that basic Shirley Temple that got you hooked as a kid. What's the key to a good Shirley Temple?
You know, the key to a good Shirley Temple is really for two things. First of all, it's ice cold ginger ale. You want it to be just as cold as it can be to keep that nice fizziness to it. Second thing is you don't want to overdose it with the grenadine. And the proportions are pretty important here because there is a gentle give and take between the ginger flavor and the ginger ale and the sweetness of the grenadine, which is a lot of people think grenadine is primarily cherry juice, but it's actually made from pomegranate. So basically, when you combine the ingredients and you put together the way that they kind of taste, that helps quite a bit to make sure that when you're stirring it, you don't overdo it. The other thing that's helpful is when you garnish it, just put a little bit of an orange slice on it because the smell of the orange, in addition with the cherry and the ginger ale, it's just perfect.
It's a whole experience.
It is.
It's not just the ingredients.
Absolutely.
Well, you nailed my childhood with another one. I'm from Michigan, the Boston Cooler. Why is the Boston Cooler from Michigan? Do you know the answer to that?
I do, actually. The Boston Cooler was created by the Verner's Company originally to kind of help market their ginger ale product. I think one of the owners had an association with Boston Street, which was where the Verner's headquarters were located at the time. And so they invented the Boston Cooler because they were unable to compete with the Black Cow, also known as the root beer float to some.
And I grew up, they used to give us Verner's when we were sick as kids in Michigan. It was a tonic. And then, yeah, the Boston Cooler was a great float. What is it about the Verner's ginger ale? Or could we sub in other ginger ales if Verner's isn't available?
You could. It just wouldn't be a true Boston Cooler. Verner's, I found, is a sweeter ginger ale. The ginger is a little more subdued. My personal favorite is Canada Dry. I think that has the right bite and spiciness to it. And when you combine it with the ice cream, it's just perfect.
Well, I really, looking through here, this says something about me. I got hooked on a lot of the ice cream drinks and want to try them. Can I get your dispensation as a grown-up to drink these, by the way?
Of course.
Good.
Of course.
Well, the Elephant Charger. I don't know if you have the recipe off the top of your head, but that's a lot of fruit and a lot of ice cream blended. This is the one I'm probably most likely to try. Where did you come up with the Elephant Charger?
Well, the Elephant Charger actually is it's kind of, as we were going through the book and I was putting together dessert, this is in the dessert drink section. And I really wanted to find something that, to kind of round it out, something that was more fruit-based. If you wanted to use real fruits, you could really punch up the flavor. As I was sort of doing my homework, and I found that and this is, I think, the only banana recipe in the book as well, and it uses a nice overripe banana. But ideally, I wanted to kind of come up with some very tropical-sounding, very tropical-feeling drinks that had that sort of brought the adventure and the mystery of the Elephant Charger into your glass. So it's kind of an exciting one.
Now, there was some concern around here. Are we just rehearsing kids for a future of drinking alcoholic cocktails when we put out the kiddie cocktail?
Absolutely not. In fact, I think it does a couple different things. First of all, it gives us an opportunity to have a conversation with our children as we're preparing these things. We want them to know it's a special treat. It's something that we have like once a week or so. We want to have the opportunity to get in the kitchen. I mean, if you think about some of the things you like, kids love making putting their toppings on ice cream. Kitty cocktails is very much the same kind of concept. I love cooking. I know I love teaching my children about cooking and cooking with them, chocolate chip cookies, etc. But with kiddie cocktails, it basically creates a new forum to put the opportunity together where we can try different things and experiment. And I think it's actually a little more closer to like mixology or chemistry. Mm-hmm. It gives that opportunity. And the other thing that's really important is, and this is in the epilogue of the book, is that we want to make sure that we're being responsible with our kiddie cocktail consumption because they are absolutely delicious cocktails. But we want to make sure that we're giving kids the opportunity to know, one's fine. They're always best with friends, and we only want to have them when it's a special treat.
So there's sometimes food in Sesame Street language.
Absolutely. That is absolutely it.
We have featured one on the Central Time Facebook page. You have some out-of-this-world type combos here. The Green Alien. Pretty straightforward to put together, this one.
Yeah, the Green Alien is a fun little drink, if you want to check out, it's certainly fun. It's a tangy one. This is in my... it's called the custom creation section. So these are kind of emerging kiddie cocktails that are basically popular, or I believe they'll be more popular in the coming years as opposed to the classic Shirley Temple. But it's a real sour, puckery, refreshing summer cocktail, and it's got a nice punch to it.
What's the next kiddie cocktail you're planning to make, Stuart?
Actually, the Castaway is probably one of the tastier ones that I've found. That because when you're a kid and you have a kiddie cocktail, you really gravitate towards the fruitier, the sweeter, the more sour. But as an adult, you like something more subdued. The Castaway is a nice combination of pineapple juice and orange juice, a couple pinches of nutmeg, and cream of coconut. There's a popular ingredient called Coco Lopez, which is makes a real nice, thick, creamy finish. But it's just a wonderful tropical little drink.
Stuart, sounds delicious. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
That's Stuart Sandler. He's an Eau Claire-based author. His new book is called Kitty Cocktails, and we have a difference of opinion here. Galen, the producer, says he doesn't like Kitty Cocktails, too sweet. Joe, the technical director, still drinks them, prefers them to soda.
I'm with Joe. Kitty Cocktails are great.
I want to try some of these. They sound
Shirley
really good.
Temples.